Good evening, my lovely learners, and also all Capricorn FM listeners. That is Mr. Majer as us. And then maybe before I continue with tonight's lesson, initially when I checked, I did not check well. I said maybe today, tonight is my last lesson. Fortunately enough, I was going to have another lesson on Thursday. So today I'll be summarizing a lot of things based on paper one, and also to guide you, as I indicated to you. Guide you on how to get better. And then, as far as paper one is concerned, and then on Thursday after tomorrow, same time, that will be 9 to 10 in the evening, I'll also be dealing with the strategies of getting total in paper two. Very easy and simple. As long as you are willing, then you're just going to be fine. We discussed a lot of things previously, a lot of information. And then now I'm just going to deal with your mind. I want to, because it all starts in the mind. You must tell yourself that I'm going to do it. And then exactly, that's exactly what you're going to get. Now, there are learners who, if maybe I can give an example. You don't have my cell, there are learners who do have my cell number. Why? Because they saved it in their phone. But there are learners also who do not have their cell. My cell number. Why? Because they did not store it in the cell phone. And it's not a mistake. Like myself, I don't have Obama's cell number. Why? Because I did not save it in my phone. What does this mean? You cannot put maybe sale in your mind and produce pass. You cannot put level 3 or level 4 in your mind and produce level 7. It's not possible. It is not possible. You produce what is stored in your mind. And then the other thing that I want to bring forth is that now if you check your syllabus, everything is very, very easy. I'm going to guide you on how to deal with the whole structure of the question paper, that paper one, and also how to deal with high order questions. And so on. Don't worry. See that indeed it is possible to get off that. Now, in our case, everything is very easy. In the past, when we were still doing grade 12, life sciences, when it was still called biology, it was out of 400 marks. And no paper one, no paper two, you just write once and then you are done. 400 marks and high grade. High grade, in our case now, there are some questions which they say these are high order questions. So those questions, during our time, it was almost each and every question was centered around that degree of difficulty. And then you were supposed to write that 400 marks in 3 hours. Now, in our case, this is standard grade because the questions are very easy. Number one, you write out of 150, maybe on Friday, and then it's paper one only. Then you focus your attention on paper, on topics that underpin paper one, and then from there, you have the whole weekend. Then the following Monday, you write paper two and only 150. And then 150, you also spend almost 2.5 hours for paper one and 2.5 hours for paper two. Almost 5 hours for only 300 marks. And the other thing is that you also have scope. During our time, we did not have scope. Now you have scope in the name of exam guidelines. That's why I keep on telling my learners that when you study, make sure that you use exam guidelines. Why? Because the exam guideline is self-explanatory. That is the guideline that is used by the examiner. And then the other thing that I wanted to take into cognizance is that information is now accessible. My brother was busy right now with English. So time and again, and we started from around, it was around July, the partnership that has been struck by Limpopo Department of Education and also Capricorn FM to assist you. You also have free textbooks. During our time, we used to buy textbooks. And then you also have study guides, learning channels, YouTube. You have got almost everything. There's no excuse. Normally, that's why I tell my learner to say, excuse is the way out and not a way forward. At all times, you must avoid using excuses. And then the other thing that I want to guide you is that don't confuse movement with progress. This was something that was uttered by one of our learners who was motivating the grade 12. if you change nothing, nothing will change. Albert Einstein refuses this. He said, no, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. If maybe you've been doing something different or the same thing time and again, and you don't see any progress, now it's time to make sure that you change, and what change for better. And then the last section before I start to discuss the structure of question paper and show you how to deal with this question is about the same catchphrase, which states it takes 1% of inspiration and 99% of inspiration for one to succeed. It takes 1% of inspiration and 99% of perspiration for one to succeed. In other words, immediately get inspired. You must make sure that you perspire. It's the figurative meaning. Viola Jero was also talking about the figurative meaning and literal meaning just recently. So you need to know figuratively, it just means that you must work hard. As soon as you get inspired, only 1%, you get inspired, but 99% means that you must perspire, you must check, you must work very, very hard. In other words, you need to work very, very hard. And the late Dr. Tivani says, you cannot climb a ladder of success dressed in a costume of failure. You cannot climb a ladder of success dressed in a costume of failure. If you want to climb a ladder of success, obviously you must be in the costume of success. Now, let me get into the business now. Let us start with the structure of question paper. The other thing that is about the instructions, there are many learners who don't follow these instructions. If you check your question paper, you'll realize that, number one, I'm just going to fill out maybe three or four that are very crucial. Number one, they say, write each question on a new page. Write each question on a new page. And then, because remember, this structure of question paper, you saw it during challenge energy, it has got now three questions, unlike in the past where we had four questions. Now we've got question one, question two, and question three. In other words, when they say each question on a new page, you write question one, you answer almost everything. When you are done with question one, not 1.1, not 1.2, not 1.3, the whole of question one, then you start another question on a new page again, which is question two. Then you deal with that again. When you are done, you move to another page, then you write question three. In other words, you are going to start each question on a new page. It means that you are going to have three questions that you are supposed to start on a new page. And then the other thing is that many learners, when they write, you write that they've got all information, but the challenge is that the font that they use is very, very small. Very small font. I was telling my learners to say, remember, you are not the one who's going to mark your script. And then the person who's going to mark the script, you don't know whether maybe he's able to see clearly or whatever, but make sure that we don't struggle when we mark the script. Make sure that you write in such a way that the font is a little bit bigger. And then the other point that I want to bring forth again is that you must also use a pen that is not a thin pen. It should be visible. It should be visible because sometimes we also mark during the night. And then, so play safe to make sure that at least everything becomes legible and neat. Let me start with section A. Section A carries 50 marks. And then this section A is centered around the following. We've got multiple choice, which is 10 marks left at 2, then you end up getting 20 marks. Then we also have biological tests. 10 multiplied by 1, which is equal to 10 marks. Then matching ties, 3 multiplied by 2, then it's 6 marks. Already 36 marks. Now, the other objective questions carry almost 14 marks, then you get 50. Now, the question is, how do I get total out of this section A? Because when you study with section A, study it in, or when you answer with section A out of 50, answer it in such a way that you have been prevented to write question 2 and question 3. Maybe the examiner told you, your educator said, no, you are going to focus on section A, you are not going to write section B. So you must make sure that you get total out of the shift. Now, the question is, how do I get total? The question is it possible to get total? Yes, it's possible. There are learners who are getting 300 of 300 in mathematics, 300 of 300 in physical science, 300 of, because they told themselves that we must get total. It is possible because normally when the results are announced at Bolivia Lodge or the range, there are learners who get total. It is possible, it is doable. Now, the other point that I want to bring forth here, like I just indicated, I wanted to see how to get total from section A, and then from there I'm going to guide you on how to get total section B, both question 2 and question 3. Now, with regard to multiple choice, remember 10 marks by 20 marks. And it's very easy because, number one, you use the strategy that you are going to use when you deal with biology culture. But let me start with biology culture first. This one is 10 marks by 1, and then 10 marks. Now, here, you check the opening and the closing statement. I keep on talking about this several times to say, when you answer biology culture, you check the opening and the closing statement. Let me say, examiner says, if I give one example from our question paper, this trial exam question paper, just to see how to deal with this biological concept. Let me say, examiner says, or maybe in the meantime, let me give you my terminology. Okay, at least I found the paper that I want to talk about. Let me say, examiner says, the part of nervous system that increases the heartbeat. The part of nervous system that increases the heartbeat. You underline nervous system, you also underline heartbeat. Then obviously you know that is sympathetic. Or part of the brain, although here this is the nerve fiber, that joins two cerebral hemispheres together. Then you underline nerve fibers or part of brain that joins the two cerebral hemispheres together, then you know that's corpus callosum. Or the hormone that regulates the water. When they say hormone, you underline hormone, meaning that the answer that you are going to give us cannot be a part or an organ. We want the hormone in this case. So you rather give us the wrong name. Maybe say, maybe growth hormone or whatever. At least we know that this person knows that this question needs him or her to write the hormone. So the hormone that regulates the water, then you know that is ADH. The fluid that protects the developing embryo against dehydration, then you think about the amniotic fluid. Then you underline the fluid and also against dehydration. And the other thing, you may use as many question papers as possible, but to a certain extent, it may be by any chance you don't find a lot of question paper. I normally tell my learners that normally I use only one question paper to revise almost 9 to 10 question papers because I normally deal with the structure. Because, number one, if maybe, an example, point number 1.2.6, it says the tip of the stem containing enzymes, then you know that is acrosome. So in other words, remember the acrosome is part of the stem cell. So now, I tell my learners that immediately they talk about acrosome. In other words, this is the function of the acrosome. And then remember, acrosome is part of the stem cell. Now you are going to, from there you start to check the function of tail, the function of nucleus, the function of mitochondria, and so on. Because maybe question paper from Madanga says, the part of the stem that propels the stem forward. Then you know that is tail, or the part of the stem cell that supplies the stem cell with energy. You know that's mitochondria. That's why I said we've got different questions but same answers. But on this note, please make sure that at least if it's about acrosome, you also know that I must also know the functions of other parts. Now, the other disorder, they say a defect in the eye where the lens is irregular kept. A defect in the eye, you underline defect in the eye, and also where the lens is irregular kept, although normally the top of the cornea, which is irregular in shape, where you talk about astigmatism as the patterns. Now, from here, because astigmatism is one of the disorders, remember you are going to check four disorders. The other one is cataract, the other one is astigmatism, the upper one, the other one is hyperopia, or the other one is hyperopia, and also myopia. So, number one, you must know that, okay, as long as now they ask a question based on astigmatism, I must also know the function or what causes hyperopia, or what causes myopia, or what causes cataract. Then you know that, because one of the question papers from other provinces may talk about not astigmatism, maybe the question paper is about cataract, or maybe hyperopia. Remember, hyperopia is also regarded as hypermetropia, and then and so on and so on. Now, this is how we are going to deal with the biological test. And what is interesting with regard to this is that when you answer the multiple choice, it is very exciting because the answers are also there. But when you read the statement, you read it in such a way that as if maybe you are not going to find four distractors, because they give you the statement, then they give you four distractors. Then from there, you choose one. Then you study the same type of question that I'm talking about, as if maybe it is biological concept. Then from there, you are going to have a picture of the answer in your mind. Then from there, you check the correct answer. Then you simply write. And then obviously, you're going to get 2 months. And this is very interesting because the answers are there, and then you get 2 months for each and every answer that shall have given. And there are some learners, you realize that when you say that normally learners commit, you realize that maybe a learner, from just imagine multiple choice, you realize that a learner somewhere maybe writes 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, and 1.4. Maybe that particular learner realizes that I cannot get the correct answer. Then they skip 1.1.4, they skip 1.1.5, they skip. It's a problem because you are the guest if it comes to a push, although we are assisting you so that you get total. You must take the opening and the closing statement. So, in other words, the method that I've been talking about with regard to biological concept, you can also apply it on the when you answer the multiple choice question. Now we also have the matching type question. Then with regard to matching type, I'm waiting because many learners now, as I was being saying from my school, they write the correct one or the correct method, because examiner says indicate whether each of the statements in column one applies to A only, B only, both A and B, or none of the items in column two. Then this is the instruction now. It says write A only, B only, both A and B, or none, next to question number. That is 1.3.1 to 1.3.3, because sometimes you realize that they normally give you three questions, and then when you answer them, you end up getting 6 months. That is 3 months number two, then it is equal to 6 months. Let me give you an example of this one. 1.3.1 says, when the thyroid gland produces more thyroxine hormone, when the thyroid gland produces more thyroxine hormone. Now, you also apply knowledge that you shall have applied when you answer in the biological concept or biological term. Because immediately they say when the thyroid gland produces more thyroxine, you underline thyroid gland and more thyroxine. And then more, remember, it's hyper. Then from there, when you check the answers in column two, it says A, hyperthyroidism, and then B, hypothyroidism. Then you end up knowing that because more means hyper, so obviously it cannot be hypo. Because hypo means less, then you write A only, which is hyperthyroidism. And don't just write A. You must indicate A only, because the instruction says write A only. And then 1.3.2, the part of the brain involved in picking up a pencil. And the answer that we provided in column 2, A was cerebellum, and then B was cerebrum. So here it's both A and B. And then you don't just write both or just A and B. You must indicate both A and B because this is the expression that has been laid out. And then the last one, 1.3.3, column 1 says S and exocrine as well as an endocrine function. And then obviously this one, you know that before you check the correct answers, you know that this is the pancreas, because we said the pancreas, when in grade 11 we talked about nutrition, where we said the pancreas releases the enzyme. But now in grade 12 we talk about endocrine system, where we talk about pancreas releasing the hormones. So can you see that it releases both hormones and also the enzyme? And remember, when it releases hormones, that is the endocrine function. When it releases the enzyme, that is the exocrine function. That's why we say this pancreas releases or performs both exocrine and endocrine function. Although sometimes the examiner may end up saying the gland that produces both hormones and enzyme, you must just know that that is the endocrine and the pancreas again. So here, you were given to answer that is pituitary gland A, and then B was pancreas. Then you seem to say B only. And in some instances, you realize that here, some learners skip. It may be that particular learner is not sure about the correct answer. You realize that the learner just write nothing. Obviously, it's either you write A or B, or you rather guess. Although, like I've been talking right now to say, well, striving to get total. Now, other questions. Remember, I've already indicated to you how the biological concepts are asked, and also how multiple choice questions are asked, and also the striving that you can use in order to get all the marks. Now, the last part. Remember, multiple choice is 20. That is 10 multiplied by 2, 20 marks. And then biological terms, I said 10 multiplied by 1, then that is 10 marks, then we end up getting 30. Okay, welcome back, my lovely learners. I also want us to check something with regard to section A. And then this other 14 marks, you realize that they give you the structure, and then from there, I'm going to answer questions based on the given structure. Like in this case, the child exam 2021, they gave you the structure of the main reproductive organ, where they indicated some diagrams or some labels A, B, C, and D. Then you're supposed to just identify, like the first question says, identify part A, B, and D. And then A was vas deferens, that is the sperm duct. And then B was the epididymis. And then D was the urethra. When you study this type of questions and the name in the particular question paper, now you don't even study only this three. You also study other parts like scrotum and also testes and so on and so forth. At least you know all the functions of this label that are attached to the diagram. And then the other one, which many learners lose marks, sometimes you realize that the examiner gives you something like a question where they say give the letter and the name. When they say the letter and the name, and obviously when you check each and every question, you realize that maybe it's 2 marks. Then 1 mark is for the letter and another mark is for the name. Some learners will realize that they become overexcited to understand that they write only the letter and then forget about the names. So make sure that you did accordingly. Now, from there, you know that at least I'm done with section A, and then I got 50 marks. And remember, how do you get this 50 marks? How do you get almost everything based on the biological terms? You must make sure that from each and every topic, you must study biological concepts first. Then from there, you also check the diagram, because some of the questions under biological concepts and also multiple choice, they can be as based on the diagram. So meaning that we must also study all those diagrams and also the labels. Thereafter, you must also know the function of each and every label. Very easy. Then from there, you know that this 50 marks, I'm quite certain about it. Then from there, you move to question two. When you answer question two, answer it in such a way that it's like maybe I can kind of like to say, well, now you don't write section A, and you also don't write question three. You're only going to focus attention on question three. Remember, you shall have accumulated almost 50 marks in section A. Now for section B, because section B consists of two questions, that is question two and question three, we no longer have section C, where section C was the essay type question for 20 marks. No, we no longer have this section, that particular section. It's only section B, which comprises of two questions, that is question two and question three. Question two is 50 marks, and also question three is 50 marks. Now, with regard to question two, but although examiner sort them sometimes, you realize that it's either question two or question three. Because when I check your child exam, in this case, these investigative questions were set under paper and question two, but sometimes you may decide to get it in question three. Let me guide you about how to deal with this investigative question, because many learners are not performing with regard to this one. Number one, examiner may request you to write what we call the validity or the reliability, or sometimes they talk about the hypothesis or a trend or the relationship. So I'm going to guide you on how to get to a with regard to this one, because there's not even a single question paper that can be set without this type of question. Now, if it's talking about validity, then validity is always characterized by saying. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give an example so that you know how to derive validity from a particular statement that shall have been given. And then the other one is about reliability. For reliability, just write that reliability is equal to R-I-R. Just write R-I-R. Then the first R is for repeating the investigation. Just write repeat investigation. I is increase the sample. And then another R is for random sampling. So I'm going to give you a scenario. And then from this scenario, I'm just going to formulate my own scenario. And then from this scenario, I want you to check how to derive the validity and also how to derive the reliability. Now, let me say, examiner says, Mr. Nigel is conducting an investigation. You want to check the learners that are performing better than other learners, maybe the school that is performing better than other schools. Now, maybe it says, Mr. Magia made those learners to write a test. That's the first test, or just a test, and then the test was out of 100. And then from there, let me say, they are from school A, B, and C. And then from there, you realize that learners from school B perform very well as compared to learners from school A and school B. And then he took only the sample of two learners from each school. Then maybe the examiner says, how do you think Mr. Najak can improve the reliability of this? Sorry. Now, the reliability, like I said, you are going to write R is equal to R-I-R. Then the first R is repeat the investigation. R is for increase the sample, and then another R for random sampling. So maybe school A, B, let me just talk about the schools. Let me say Capricorn, and then Motherland, and also Flora Park, and maybe Texina. And you realize that maybe learners from Texina performed well, but we took only two learners. Then the examiner says, how do you think some adjective can improve the reliability of this? then number one, you must have that R-I-R. The first R, I said, to repeat the investigation. In other words, I cannot just conclude, if maybe I gave them only one test, I cannot just conclude to say, obviously, learners from Kenya are performing better compared to other learners. I must include the sample. In other words, I mean, not include the sample, I'll discuss include the sample later. I must make sure that I repeat the investigation. Maybe I can give them test number one, and from there, give them test number two. From there, give them test number three, and so on and so on. From there, I say increase the sample. Now, because I was using only two learners from each school, I must increase the sample. Let me say maybe I take 40 learners from Tanzania, 40 learners from Florida Park, 40 learners from Northern Ireland, and so on and so on. Now, at least, do you see that I've increased the sample? At least the result that I'm going to be obtained there, obviously the investigation that I'm conducting, obviously going to yield the reliable results. The other one is about random sampling. If I'm supposed to get learners from Flora Park, I'm just going to go to Flora Park completely to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up until 40. Then you come and you're going to write test. And then I go to take signal 1, 2, 3, 4, just randomly, so not looking at the schedule. So ultimately, if I do like that, because that is random sampling, unlike if maybe I check the what is the schedule, you realize that maybe I'm picking up best learners or learners that are not performing. Maybe from school A, I pick best learners, and from school B, learners that are average, and so on. It won't be fair. But if I do random sampling, and the results can be reliable. Let me repeat what I said. I said for reliability, if R is equal to RIR, then the first R is for repeat the investigation, and then I for increasing the sample, and then another R for random sampling. Now, the other thing that you need to know, or maybe on that note, if maybe they are talking about validity, maybe because I said validity is characterized by saying, maybe you may end up saying, maybe because they should have given you the scenario, you end up saying, Mr. Major should use the same number of learners. If Textile took 40, I must also take 40 from Flora Park of the Sea, and 40 from Northern Ireland, and 40 from Capricorn. And then if maybe we're talking about age, maybe you may end up saying same age and same grade. I must not take some learners from maybe Textile. You realize that learners are doing grade 12, but from Flora Park, I take learners who are doing grade 11. Should be same. And say the same grade, same age, same number of tests, same. It's characterized by, it characterizes what you call validity. As I said, validity is characterized by same. Now, the hypothesis or a trend or the relationship. Let me say you have been given a graph, and when you check this graph, maybe from 2019, in the interest of time, let me say 2019, Tengla Secondary School, they say it had 450 learners and 10 educators. 450 learners and 10 educators. Then 20, maybe 600 learners and then 15 educators. I'm sure we're on the same page. Then the last one, 2021, maybe 1,000 learners, and then educators about 25. If you check here, when you check the number of learners, the more learners, the number of learners increases, also, obviously, the number of educators also increase. Now, if examiners is going to request you to write something based on the hypothesis or a trend or relationship, remember this are characterized by what we call the cause and the effect. Then the cause in this case, the number of learners. When the number of learners increases, then the effect is going to be when also the number of educators increase. So in other words, if examiner says what is the hypothesis from this, you are going to coin it along those lines. Or sometimes you may say the trend, you coin it along those lines, or the hypothesis. it's one and the same thing. As much as I keep on saying, there are different questions that can answer. Now, this is exactly why what you're going to do with this type of questions. And then in some instances, somewhere there are some mini essay type questions, although we don't have that essay type of 20 marks. But somewhere they're going to give you essay type of a mini essay of 6 marks or say even 7 marks. So remember, you should have studied almost everything and according to exam guideline. And then what is interesting again is that some of the questions, or if you check it during that time, it also has some of the information that can be used as the memorandum. Let me give you an example of that particular type of question. Maybe like they're talking about oogenesis or spermatogenesis. Then they simply say, under the influence of testosterone, you get a mark. I'm taking it from exam guideline, page 10. Under the influence of testosterone, the diploid cell in the seminiferous tubule of the testis undergo meiosis to form a haploid sperm cell. Very simple and straightforward. Then you're done. Because if you study according to different books, there are a lot of books that have got a lot of information, which is very okay. But you realize that you are going to give us information that is not necessary. And we should have struggled to make sure that you study almost everything. Whereas a lot of information that you are going to provide is not even going to be considered. So that's why I said it's very vital for you to use exam at time so that it guides you on how to deal with this type of questions. Now we'll be going for a short break, and then when we come back from the break, I'll be showing you on how to deal with question 3, because it also entails graph. Welcome back, Ms. Laulena. Question 3 now. Remember, shall I dealt with question 2. Those high order questions, maybe, or the investigative questions, we shall have known almost everything. Remember, I told you that not even a single question paper can be set without questions that are going to be sent around validity or reliability of the hypothesis or just a trend. Because I still remember during trial examination, there was a question which was based on the relationship between progesterone and FSH. Remember, high level progesterone inhibits the production of FSH. So these are some of the questions that can be asked, which are governed by what we call the cause and effect. Now, with regard to question 3, remember, you should have dealt with question 2, and then you know that this question 2, I've got 50 marks now. Now we have got 100 marks. Now, question 3, this one is very, very simple. It's either they switch, they alternate, maybe it's either question 2 and question 3. Now, if it may be question 2, the one that is having those high-order questions, including the let me say it like this, including the validity, liability, and whatever. Sometimes they do it in question 3 and so and process. Now, you say they did it in question 2, and then we already know the strategy that we're going to use to make sure that you get to that as far as section and question 3 is concerned. Now, question 3, 44 marks is based on very simple questions. 44 marks, and then 6 marks is based on the graph. But remember, graph, we've got different types of graphs. We've got the histogram. We also have the bar graph. We also have the line graph and also the pie chart. You need to study on how to do the different types of bars. And it's almost 6 marks. And then it's 44 marks, very simple and straightforward. They're just going to give you the maybe a diagram. You are just going to interpret what you are able to see from the diagram. Sometimes you label the different parts, or sometimes you also give the findings. So in other words, like I said, when you study in every chapter, when you are done with the concept, now the other thing that you are going to consider it much on is to make sure that you study the diagrams and also the labels. Thereafter, you must also know the function of each and every label. And then it's not very difficult, because immediately you check the function or the label, its position is just going to tell you that, obviously, because it's found between this and this, no, meaning that this is the function of this part. Very easy and straightforward. Now, the other thing is that you must know the chapter that carries a lot of marks. You must know the chapter that carries a lot of marks. like Wagner says, paper one. And the other thing, which is very simple, but you realize that many learners may end up not knowing what's setting. Number one, you must know the chapters that fall within paper one. How many might be carried? Let me give you an example. Here, I am never system. Here, I am never system. Collectively, they are regarded as responding to environment and then in practice the right human. It's about 54 marks. Then you need to study the EAI and never system. Then you know that, and you remember studying the exam guideline, you know that it is, I know not everything based on this. Then you are sure 54 marks. Now from there you go to the second chapter or the other chapter, which is human reproduction. Remember, human reproduction now is 41 marks. Then you study human reproduction, the male reproductive system, the female fertilization, development of zygote and implantation. I gave you the formula that is first in the field. You should remember all those formula that I gave you. Now, from there, you check the function of the what is the stem cell? What is the end? The part of the stem cell? We've got tail, the mitochondria, the nucleus, the acrosome. Functions. So you know at least I've got almost everything. And then you know that you have got 41 marks. Remember, 54 for responding to environment that includes the AI and nervous system, and also 41 marks for human reproduction. Just these two chapters already have got 95, because 54 plus 41 is just 95. Now we also have endocrine system. From there you discuss, you check endocrine system and also and they are more or less the same, because they also deal with negative feedback. Now from there, it comes almost its format. Can you see how easy it is? Maybe you know that I'm quite certain about endocrine system, and then I studied this according to exam guideline, and I also studied the process of homeostasis according to exam guideline. Now at least I'm sure of 34 marks. Already I've got 129 marks, because 54 plus 41 plus 34 is 129, which is sufficient, because the scale is 120. Now we are left with 21 marks to gain total. Then you check responding to environment plants. It is about the plant growth hormones. So remember gibberellin, auxins, and abscisic acid. You also check the chlorophyll, geotropism, and phototropism. Then you are done. From there, you also check reproduction in vertebrates, which is almost 8 marks. When you take 13 plus 8, it's almost 21, and then added to 129, then you get total. Can you see how easy it is to get total? Remember, you must make sure that when you study, you put your exam guideline beside, then from here, you study, realize that now I'm done with the sector. You cannot say I'm done with the particular sector, whereas you do not even study according to the exam guideline, because there's a lot of information that is not even relevant. And some of the important things, you may realize that you skip them because you don't even know as to whether maybe they can be safe or not. But in the set, you study everything according to the data, you know that you have covered almost everything. Now, the last point that I want to bring forth, this one also, learners who are not doing licenses can also benefit from this. It's about transferring information from short-term memory to long-term memory. Remember, long-term memory, we're talking about the subconscious mind. If you want to store your information from short-term memory to long-term memory, this is what you're supposed to do. I want you to write this information down. One, just write this statement, ways in which memory can be processed. Ways in which memory can be processed. Then, in brackets, write RO, MO, Q, and MN. So, in other words, ROMOC, MN. Then, R stands for repetition, O for organizing, M for meaningful, 04 over Lady, 24 quality of processes, MN is for mnemonic devices. Mnemonic devices. I said ways in which memory can be processed. This project that I just outlined is going to assist you on how to transfer information from short-term memory to long-term memory. I said ROMOQMN. Then R for repetition, for organizing, M for meaningful, O for overlearning, and then Q for quality of processing, and then M is mnemonic devices. So I'm going to guide you on how to use for lessons only. You can also apply this knowledge to other subjects. R for repetition. Remember, for you to transfer the information from short-term memory to long-term memory, you must repeat the information time and again. Don't say, no, that presents this chapter already, I know this. No, no. You must listen until you must hear one more word. You must hear one more word. This is exactly what I tell my students, that whether this chapter is presented by whoever, make sure that you must listen attentively. You must hear one more word, because that way you are transferring information from short-term memory to long-term memory. The other O, I said, is for organizing. Let me use it because I've got two O's. The other O is overlearning, so that at least I tap them together. Then overlearning is more or less the same as repetition. But with overlearning, what is interesting is that the information that we have learned, you share it with other learners. The more you share it to other learners, it's like you teach other learners, and then they also teach you. Then that is part of overlearning. So you'll be transferring information from short-term memory to long-term memory. Then the other one is organizing. Organizing, you are what should be well-organized. Number one, like in my case, I told my learners that you must have the notebook. When you start with a particular chapter, I make copies of exam guidelines. Let me say it's about reproduction. They test reproduction, and then whatever they present, when they study those notes or when they compile their notes, they compile them according to the exam guideline. Then we know that we are done with the first part. When I give them the handout, they make sure that ultimately those handouts based on that chapter, which is in the reproduction, they are attached or tasted at the same part that I've been talking about. If it's about reproduction, then they are supposed to be tested there. Now, from there, another question or another subtopic, let me say, is endocrine system. Then the makeup is based on exam guideline that is about endocrine system, and you study almost everything, compile your notes according to the exam guideline again. So next time when you want to study, you don't have to study because your work is well organized. Then the other one is M for meaningful. Meaningful is about not learners using grammar. You must not cram, because if you cannot cram lessons, you cram sixes, and you cram graphs, your head is going to be bad. So obviously the most important thing that you're supposed to know is to make sure that you understand exactly. You don't cram. It is called rote learning. Cramming is rote learning. ROTE. That is cram work. You don't have to cram. Then quality of processing. It's about storing information in your mind. How do you store the information in your mind? You must store it in such a way that when you want to reproduce what you have learned, it becomes very easy for you to reproduce, because you arrange your work in a orderly way. Then that's what we call quality processes. Let me give you an example. Let me say you told yourself that now, with regard to reflex action or reflex arc, number one, I must just know that they told me that I must just have the spinal cord and five things. Number one, the first part is the receptor. Then the last one is the effector. And then between the receptor and the effector, we must have the sensory neuron. We must also have the connector neuron. We must also have the motor neuron. From there, you tell yourself that, okay, as long as we're going to, we'll be talking about this part of a reflex arc and reflex action, I must just know that spinal cord and five things, receptor, three neurons, sensory, connector, and motor, and the last one is the effector. Then from there, you start to check the relationship between these three neurons. Very easy. From there, you know that when you say the host suffix, I'm sure you still remember that the each receptor can be substimulated, and then information is going to pass through there. The stimulus are going to be converted to nerve impulses, and nerve impulses are carried by the sensory neuron through the dorsal root into the spinal cord. Then from there, the spinal cord makes an active contact with the sensory neuron, makes an active contact with the connector neuron, which in turn makes an active contact with the motor neuron. And then from there, the motor neuron transmits nerve impulses away from the spinal cord through the ventral root to the effector. That means then that, remember the effector is about the nasal gland. Then you are going to retract your head away from the hot surface. Then always when you talk about this, you know that, okay, always when you talk about reflex as a deficiency, you must make sure that we have the spinal cord and fasting. Then you, this is how you take your information or you save your information in your mind. Now that is very good because that is what we call cognitive processing. But the mnemonic device, in simpler terms, is like writing abbreviation. The study guide that I compiled, like educated class, it is simplified a mnemonic device class. There are a lot of mnemonic devices that we use to make sure that at least you end up getting almost everything. Let me give you another functions of hypothalamus. Functions of hypothalamus, you write SEAT, SEATT, and PW. Now you know that S stands for sleep, and then E for emotion, A for appetite, T for test, and then this T is double T. The first T is for test, then the second T is for temperature, then that T is for pressure, but blood pressure, and then W is for water. You know that it's about the control of water. So now you know that when we talk about the functions of hypothalamus, we use CPW. Then from there you know that, okay, when I want to write the function of hypothalamus, I must know this formula. Then from there you simply outline all those functions. Like for example, when you talk about the yen balance, again my learners, SA versus US is like South Africa's play against US, where S is for semicircular canal, and then A for ampulla, and then U for US, and U is for utriculus, and then S is for circular. And also the three, from there that you are going to check the receptors that are found in both, in all of those parts of the inner part of the brain, or of the ear. But the other thing that you can also check is about when we piece with the ear, the three ear ossicles, I gave them the formula of HAS, H-A-S. The first one is the hammer, and then A for the anvil, and then S for the syrup. And from there, you know how they are arranged. Very, very easy. Remember, I said tonight is just about to prepare your mind so that you tell us that indeed I can get what I'm, because we've been teaching almost on daily basis, and then we're done with the syllabus, we revise everything. Now it's all in the bodies in your court to make sure that you end up getting to time. How do you get to time? Like I said, it's all in the mind. We prepare your mind so that you realize that indeed it is easy to get to time. Remember, with the theory that I didn't talk about, you end up knowing that, okay, now I also have total because it has got to. Thursday, I'll be giving you the catchphrases that motivates you so that as you push, you keep on pushing. And then ultimately, I'm also going to discuss how to get total with regard to paper two, because paper two, remember, only meiosis and other is meiosis, DNA, evolution, and also genetics. So I'll be dealing with that after tomorrow, next time, 9 to 10. And for now, good night. Bye-bye.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.